You're listening to the Accenture Insurance Influencers Podcast.
So what was once a swipe by a human is now really these infinitely variable episodes of risk that are turned on and off by events, by data, by smart cars, by docked bicycles and undocked bicycles, by applications. A very interesting proposition for the world that has changed because of connected technology.
Welcome back to Season 2 of the Accenture Insurance Influencers Podcast. I'm Igrani Yu, and today I'm speaking with Scott Walchek. Scott is the founder and CEO of Trove. He's founded and successfully exited several tech startups and was the co-lead investor and founding director of Baidu, the Chinese search engine giant. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So let's start with Trove. Can you give us a quick background on Trove and what it does?
Sure. So back in 2012, when I started this, it was around the idea that there's enormous value that's locked up in the information about the things that people own. The idea was if we could give people agency over that information, if we could somehow collect that information on behalf of others and store it in a personal repository we called a trove, like a treasure trove, then we could really unlock value within four markets, one of which was insurance. That's now morphed into now we've become one of the world's leading insurance technology platforms, enabling the new ways that people live, people move, and people work.
And so what would be an example of data that's locked up in something? Say my computer. What data is locked up in there, and what do you envision that could do for me if it's unlocked?
Yeah, so in the beginning, the idea was the value of the thing I own or the metadata about that item, for example, your laptop, that has a lot of either personal value or financial value. We were thinking, well, there's all this value in the things that people own. Why not be able to track that in real time, track those values, for example, and track it as a separate asset class, thereby impacting, if you would, finance and credit, a new way for people to take advantage of that data. So we've moved a lot from there since then. But we've pointed at first the idea at the high net worth space, thinking that they were the ones who are going to benefit most because of the ones that have essentially the most to lose. It then became very evident to us that trying to scale a business of that, globally, was really hard, very expensive. We came to the obvious now in hindsight, the obvious understanding that a new generation, the digital native, everything that they own, everything that they use, whether they own it or whether they're having access to it, has some sort of digital exhaust associated with it. And we could insert ourselves in that digital exhaust, remove the friction around helping people collect this information to put into their trove, and then we could give them ways to take advantage of it, like, here comes the big sort of bridge, like helping them protect just what they wanted, whenever they wanted, for whatever duration they needed. So there's the bridge.
And so I think one of the interesting things about Trove is this idea of a digital native, say, maybe not having art or a flashy car, but does have a camera or a laptop or a smartphone that to them, like these are treasured possessions. And I've heard you talk about Trove in terms of the atomization of the insurance of items. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the most obvious application, as I had just mentioned, was if we're helping people discreetly manage some of their most prized possessions, as you mentioned, particularly for the digital native that has fewer things and they care more about access than they do ownership. But the things that they own are really important to their whole lifestyle. And by the way, this happened around, we were beginning to talk about this and started to work on it around 2014. So sort of well before insurtech was a thing. And the proposition was, why don't we align ourselves with the evident way that this digital native was navigating their interactions with goods and services. So on demand, in whatever duration, whatever time of day, whether it's entertainment or banking or food services. And we say, what's preventing us from doing that with insurance. So hence was born this app that we said had to be on demand, which was turn on things whenever, you know, turn on insurance, real insurance, like loss, damage, theft, turn it on anywhere in the world for anything, my laptop, my camera, what have you. And then only allow it to be turned on for the times that I needed it, which was, of course, completely antithetical to the insurance, the traditional insurance, which was protecting things I don't care about during times when I don't need them, you know, big blanket policies and such. So to do that really unique sort of, and what we introduced was what we said it had to be simple as Tinder and as beautiful and as Airbnb. It had to be all accessed on a mobile device from engagement all the way through through claims adjudication. So that created that really simple, what millions of people have watched our video in the for the app, that created this really valuable artifact of this underlying technology that we now call the atomization or the atomic disassembly of the insurance value chain. And believe me, if we had known how complex this was going to be, this insurance value chain from engagement through pricing, through policy management, customer management, claims adjudication, claims lodging, you know, business intelligence, what have you, I'm not sure we would have done it from the beginning. But what we did was this technology to support that unique moment of on-demand insurance for micro durations really created these building blocks. We call them the atoms of insurance that are now being beyond the application within our little consumer app, our D2C, is now being reassembled into these more interesting, more dynamic use cases within insurance. Let me give you some examples, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. So an average Uber ride is 16 minutes. An average scooter ride is 7 minutes. The average time that an individual spends within using an Airbnb is just under 3 days. The average tasker from TaskRabbit or similar services is about 2.5 hours. The average camera the average time that a user on Trove is protected camera was under 3 days. And these, so we call them infinitely variable episodes of risk, are entirely keeping with the new ways, the new consumer platforms that have been enabled by the ubiquity of connected technology. Risk isn't changing. People are still breaking things, losing things, getting hurt. But the way that risk is being presented is really new. And that's these atoms of insurance, the atoms of the insurance value chain that Trove has built are now being applied to specifically address those infinitely variable episodes of risk that are modified or triggered by data or events. So what was once a swipe by a human turning on insurance, a swipe right to turn on, turn off with a swipe left for whatever duration of time, we call it on-demand micro duration. It's now really these infinitely variable episodes of risk that are turned on and off by events, by data, by smart cars, by docked bicycles and undocked bicycles, by applications. A very interesting proposition for the world that has changed because of connected technology.
I saw recently an announcement of the expansion of Trove from your core platform of this on-demand service into other lines of business. Can you talk a bit about those?
Yeah, sure. So it's actually a go-to-market strategy more than as lines of business, because we're still serving the core, which is helping incumbent insurers be relevant in the future and helping emerging consumer platforms. And not that these are our customers, but you'll understand, like the Waymos, like the Ubers, like the Airbnbs, like the TaskRabbits and GoSpotChecks of the world, each of them representing a different one of these columns of live, work, and move. And our business is essentially around a B2B or a B2B2C approach. The B2B2C is on the incumbent side, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then and the B2B is a more SaaS model empowering these consumer platforms. What's not in our business going forward, after we've talked all this about the wonderful application that people love, the on-demand micro duration for single items, we're now sunsetting that around the world. And we're doing that because we've gleaned all that we need to from that user engagement. And we've built all the superstructure that supports that unique on-demand microduration, which we now call sort of event-triggered and infinitely variable episodes of risk. And as we talked about before, those atomic subparticles are being reassembled to address these new new opportunities. So what does that look like? If you think about Trove, you can think about a sitting between a technological bridge for billions of dollars of capacity, meeting billions of dollars of demand for insurance coverages. On that first one is the incumbents, and the incumbents are struggling they're doing fine, but they know the opportunities that for them going forward are around providing capacity for these emerging risks. And they are facing a Janus moment right now. Janus, the mythical god that has two faces, where half is looking forward and half is looking backward. The backward facing folks are trying to modernize their core platforms, bring them into the 21st century, and all their IT resources are going there. But the forward-looking face of the insurance Janus, if you would, they're analyzing how can they remain relevant to an emerging consumer base that lives their lives on the smart devices, has expectations, new consumer behaviors, expectations, and these new risks that are presented by the new ways that people live, work, and move. We are providing home and auto products that are full stack white label products that are being brought to market by others. And I can't talk about these until they're public, but around the world, insurance incumbents and banks and other financial service providers who are offering insurance to their constituents are private labeling Trove's renters and home products and our personal auto product, none of which anyone has seen publicly yet, but are built upon many of the core components that we have invested in that serve that unique moment before. On the other side are the consumer platforms. And these are the likes of the Waymo or Peugeot. Peugeot is a great example. So we provide technology capability that recognizes the data that is actually taking in data and then modifying coverages to make insurance much more efficient and making these consumer platforms and their insurance managers much more efficient around risk identification and risk mitigation. For example, a great example is Peugeot, who relaunched their brand in the United States in a car share model with several hundred cars in Washington, D.C., now growing to several thousand throughout the territory. Car share, think you have an application, you walk up to a car, one of their, they're called Free to Move, and you type in a code and you open the door and then you can drive away with a car for, and you can use that car for a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a month, whatever it might be. And of course, those variations of time are key to being efficient. They went, the Free to Move would tell you that they went to the insurance world. The insurance world said, "We'll give you a policy that lasts a year, but it's a standard price of X number of thousands of dollars per car." They came to Trove, and Trove said, "No, wait a minute. These are connected cars that are giving off lots of data every second. If you gave us that data, we could tell you the state of the car, if it's being driven or if it's being stationary. We could also tell you who's driving it, whether it's one of your maintenance people or whether it's a consumer. And because of those, the matrix of varying coverages and varying risk states actually makes a much more, the insurance or the coverage footprint becomes much more efficient and therefore less expensive. So what's happening with that is we get 12 fields of data every 10 seconds from every car. And from that data, we can ascertain the current risk state of that vehicle and make appropriate adjustments to the coverages. And they're telling us from the perspective of being financially more efficient, that we're saving them at least 30% over traditional insurance.
Holy cow. I have lots of questions. How much time do you have today, Scott?
I'll tell you a story, but don't want to interrupt the.
No, go for it. I want to hear the story.
Yeah. Okay. So this was back in, I think 2015, maybe, no, probably it was 2016, 2017. We had just gathered, we were a very remote company, about 85 people, 90 people now. And we have a bunch of folks around the world, and it's really hard to manage it. So we try to get them together once a year for a week of, you know, vision casting and engagement and, you know, setting objectives, what have you, seeing how we're doing. And this was July, so about halfway through the year. And we'd set four pretty audacious goals for ourselves. And I remember four or five, let's call it five audacious goals. And I had just done the keynote, my keynote, like where we are and how we're doing and, you know, onward troops and we're doing great. Here's the, like, don't get off track. Here's the five things we're doing this year and here's how we're doing. And that night I was invited to speak at a dinner down in Silicon Valley with a bunch of execs. And I sat next to Lauren Nickel, who's the head of risk across all of Alphabet at the time with Google. And he heard my story about Trove. And the next day he called me and he said, hey, I got some thoughts. Can you come meet with me? So I go down and meet with him. I think that was a Thursday. And he says, you know, I've been working with the insurance world around our robot cars, the Waymo platform, which is now the leading autonomous vehicle operating system in the world. And he said, we've been trying to understand how current incumbent insurers can protect these, he didn't use these words, but these episodes of risk that are presented when a passenger is an autonomous vehicle. And he said, hearing your story, can't you take what a human is doing that is swiping on and off and give that same sort of engagement to the smarts of a computer or the smarts of a robot or the smarts of an autonomous vehicle? And we said, of course, well, that's how it was designed. And he says, well, we want you to do that for Waymo. So I went back to the, obviously we're not going to say no to that, even though we had no idea what the projected outcome would be. But then we went back to the, I went back to the company the next day and said, remember those five things I told you to be really focused on? It's now six. And that actually gave birth, if you would, to the whole idea of this core platform now being applied to these new risks, the new ways that people living, the new ways that people are moving around the world, and the new ways that people are working.
That's a great story. And I love how that sort of serendipity just happens. You do something and it turns into something else.
You're listening to season two of the Accenture Insurance Influencers podcast with host Igrana Yu. To learn more, visit Accenture.com/insurance influencers, where you can find the complete season one and subscribe to get all new episodes. Now, back to the conversation with Scott Walchek of Trove.
Say on the car sharing piece, I suspect there are probably some incumbents out there who would say, hey, but we've spent all this time building up this historical data that allows us to understand the risk associated with the driver, and we can incorporate telematics. Where is the database or the modeling? Is that something that you've built in-house? Are you partnering with somebody to translate that data into a risk profile?
Such a great question. Let me address it this way. Back to the original statement that Trove is enabling the new ways that people live, work, and move. The key word there is the word new. The difference between the incumbents is known risk versus new risk. Known risk means we do have a lot of data. We understand consumer patterns. We understand severity and frequency of peril. And therefore, we can model it in a way that is attended to the expectations that are there. The new risks, though, that's the key, is that generally speaking, if you were to take an incumbent and say, let's go after these new risks, they say, great, we can maybe give you a little naive capacity initially, but give me a year, give me 2 years, and we're going to tell you in hindsight where what your premiums might be and what your expectations of peril might be. Trove is different. We are collecting data in real time and we're building, the models are built based upon existing data. And of course we do use, to give initial pricing, we use some sets of data that we can get. But because we are constantly looking at the data, not just from a severity and frequency perspective, but also surrounding information. For example, we know when a car in that fleet, for example, might be rebalanced. The fleet might be rebalanced, and we would know whether or not they're balancing that car. Last night, they balanced a bunch of cars and put them in a particular area, and there was a much higher frequency of vandalism when they parked them there. So we can tell them not 6 months from now, not 12 months from now. We could say, you will be better risk mitigators by moving those cars, you know, another block or two down because the frequency of vandalism is lower. So by collecting the data and being in near real time, we can then start to analyze, and our models and our capabilities are using that data to analyze risk and be much more efficient with, and we can also, with frequency and severity, but we can also be predictive about, hey, look, it looks like when you expanded from DC to, you know, other territories, that your frequency or your severity went up, what have you. We can give you in advance, we can tell you that your pricing is going to be going up, or this is a percentage of pricing that you should be expected, assuming. For example, our team is just back from DC doing our first quarterly risk review, which is something that is unique for us because we've only been out with them for about maybe 4 months. And now we have enough data that we could start to make them much more effective risk managers, as well as predictive of where their pricing might go, which makes them a much better business managers as well.
That's so interesting to me because it sort of addresses, I think, some of the issues that have been raised with many of this explosion of insurtechs, where on the one hand, insurtechs are very good at seeing maybe what the incumbents aren't, or maybe seeing things from a slightly different angle and proposing a solution. I think one of the major criticisms has been that insurance, as you yourself said, the insurance value chain is super complex, and the insurtechs don't always know what they're in for and maybe misstep as a result. It sounds to me like that Trove has overcome a lot of those challenges. I'm just wondering if you could comment on that, like if there were certain light bulb moments, do you have really great advisors? Like, how are you managing to navigate this fairly complex space and bring this new perspective?
Yeah, it's a super good question. And I wish I could say that we have really overcome them. I think we probably more accurately is that we know what we don't know now. Does that make sense? So I think in the past, we didn't even know what we didn't know, which I think some of that naivete served our advantage. Meaning, had we known all the complexities and the difficulties and the cost, et cetera, the enormity of the challenge of transforming or even, dare I say, disrupting this nearly 300-year-old industry, I don't think we would have, you know, taken it on. I certainly would have been a lot more circumspect. But I think the things that we have learned that are probably now in hindsight really obvious. So first of all, we have decided our business model is, as we've covered a few minutes ago, we're a B2B and a B2B2C model. So we are sunsetting our direct-to-consumer business. Now, why is that? Primarily, it's because introducing a new brand and new consumer behaviors into an entrenched market is perhaps the most, now obvious, but the most expensive, most difficult undertaking for any company to do. And compounding that is the inherent consumer relationship with insurers, which is built on trust. And trust is earned over years. So introducing a new brand inside a entrenched, if you would, trust industry is even made more difficult than simply would if it was just a consumer product undertaking. Now, new brand, new behavior. So the CAC risk is exceptionally high. If you take that and look at our proposition, was protect your smartwatch for the times that you think it's, or your expensive camera gear. The unit economics proved out to be unsupportable for us over the even at scale. That to capture an individual, to train them to engage in insurance at times that they felt that they needed to, was, you know, a proposition that now in hindsight was evident that it was going to be fraught. And And so the unit economics were maybe I protect my watch or something else that's valuable for a day. It's 31 cents of gross written premium. Even if I keep it on for a week, maybe I make a, maybe there's $1.50 or GWP, and then I break it. And now we have a loss of, you know, $500, whatever it might be. You can see that it would be, the economics would be upside down, but we didn't know. And I don't think anybody knew. In fact, no one had ever applied on-demand micro duration insurance to single items. Again, it was the valuable underpinnings that served as that we're now seeing life and other risks. But so the first thing was, how do we offload CAC? How do we offload that enormous consumer acquisition cost that was essentially the same as attracting someone to a bigger risk, call it homeowners, auto, renters, whatever. That's going to be the same to attracting someone, the same cost to attract someone to this on-demand micro duration insurance. So first, how do we do that? And the second is, what about taking the balance sheet risk? We've always said that we needed to take, we didn't want to take balance sheet risk. We didn't want to go through the process of being an insurer. So we took a very light, a full stack insurer. We took a very light regulatory authority in Australia, the United Kingdom, and took a little heavier authority in the United States. And that is actually years of learning about the more regulatory authority you carry, the closer you are to the risk taking, the more control you have of the user experience. So we've decided that we will live what we call in the fillet of the revenue stack, of the GWP stack. We'll offload consumer acquisition costs to big either incumbents that already have, 30 million monthly active users and have built the trust over years, and they can take our products, powered by Trove Model Tech, our product to their consumers. Or we're just going to have our technology embedded with capacity behind it, embedded into the consumer platforms that already have a following of loyal consumers, and that offloading the CAC risk to that. And at the same time, we're going to take a higher degree of regulatory authority, still offloading, meaning like an MGA, offloading the ultimate balance sheet risk to incumbents or to carriers, but moving further towards a little heavier regulatory authority so that we can control more of the user experience along the path. Does that make sense?
It definitely makes sense. And I'm just marveling here at sort of the willingness to pivot after a fairly public launch of on-demand as a consumer, as a direct-to-consumer offer. What is in the anatomy of Trove that you were able to really look at that and be like, hey, this isn't working, but in the meantime, to have built up these other capabilities and say, oh, well, actually, here's the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, can you talk a little bit about that process?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. It's both, what's the word, labyrinthine? Is that a word?
I think so.
It's nonlinear. It's very nonlinear. And I wish I could say, well, we knew it all the time, but we didn't. We did have a very public, and we introduced the category of on-demand insurance. Unfortunately, on-demand insurance is actually a thing, and it's actually a real category, which makes us super proud. But the application of on-demand is actually being seen in different ways. So the way we process it is, of course, a lot of disappointment internally. There was, trying new things. We're super, in our DNA, in the fabric of Trove, the idea that anything new where you started off will almost never be where you end. And I've done this. This is now my sixth or so a startup, and I could tell you story after story, each one of them where we said it was going to be this and we ended up here, and they are in some cases not even in the same universe. One story is we started a company in 1996 building a content platform, a push content platform in the early days of the internet that would push branded content to a subscriber base, which was within 4 months of me raising money from it, was basically a model that was subsumed by Internet Explorer 4.0. And I had to literally turn to my VCs at the time, it was John Fisher and Tim Draper, and tell them, look, this is what we invested in isn't what we're going to do. And And about 3 months later, came up with the idea around a shopping search technology platform, which became the most popular shopping search technology platform that was later on sold for, you know, significant upside for all my investors. But it wasn't even the same universe where we started, where we ended. That's not the case for Trove. Trove started off in disrupting the management of information about things, and then turned to insurance as its first instance of how that might be manifest. And then through the last 3 years, experiencing, you know, disappointment, watching the growth not go where we wanted, certainly watching the underwriting performance not be in the position that we wanted, recognizing, however, that the world was changing around us, that the new ways that people live, work, and move are presenting essentially the same thing, which are these infinitely variable episodes of risk, which is really the same thing as on-demand microduration. Instead of on-demand with a human, it's on-demand with a machine or a computer to computer. And that became obviously like, oh, wow. And then, I gave you the story about Waymo, and then others that have come to us and said, can you do the same thing across multiple different categories of risk? And it's now become, we think, a really, really solid business model for us. And it really is that ability to say to encourage your 90 people who are putting their heart and soul into one direction and being being really clear and transparent about here's where we started, here's where the opportunity exists, and here's how we're going to have to pivot, and making certain that people feel appreciated, valued in the input that they had before, but then also giving them a lot of encouragement about a future that holds true for what they've invested in.
That's great. The culture piece obviously is an important one as well. Now I'm curious about. You've mentioned that you had this big meeting in 2016. You had 5 audacious goals, which turned out to be 6. And it strikes me that Trove is very much a data-informed company. How do you prioritize all the information that's coming in between the opportunities that I'm sure people are saying, hey, why don't you try this? And the huge trove of data, pardon the pun, that you must have at your disposal. How are you making sense of this and prioritizing it and finding a way forward out of all of this?
Yeah, so 2 questions are really more one about data and what data means for us. Obviously, insurance is the world's oldest and largest big data play, if you would. And I think for us, the first thing that data does for us is allow us to recognize the changes of state in a user or a vehicle's risk. Data gives us that opportunity to be moved from simply reducing risk or being able to price risk to actually moving to more risk predictors. And I think that's a trend that's super important for us, where we are being very cognizant about how we build, how we capture the data. In fact, all of the relationships that we have require that the data that they're receiving from user engagement, for those that take our full stack products to market, we have the anonymized data so that we can inform our models, make them more, get, of course, better pricing, but also then start to build models that help our partners be better risk mitigators, better risk managers, and better risk predictors. So you're 100% right that data, more and more data is moving to the core of how we're building our products and how we're providing value for our partners. The other part of that question was, how are we prioritizing? That's actually fairly simple. We've raised $114 million. I like to say we have $114 million reasons for us to be a profitable enterprise, wildly profitable and lots of growth. Finding the right model to achieve that in a reasonable amount of time, that helps us choose priorities. So a great example would be, we have this terrific relationship with Waymo. They are by far the world's recognized leader in autonomous vehicle operating systems and capabilities. They've just recently announced their expansion with Nissan and Renault around the world. Our opportunity with them is to continue to grow as they grow in the US and elsewhere, and as they expand with others. That relationship allows us then to be formidable within the world of the emerging world of AV. So a priority for Trove would be to build the capability, build the brand awareness, build the relationships where we can, in fact, be central, be core in the world of connected fleets, be core. Actually, we say win the autonomous vehicle, the future of autonomous vehicle protections, whether that be for the hardware itself or for the passengers within it. Right now, we're just the passengers. So we think that that helps us prioritize and gives us a narrative about how do we make that one decision over another. And as you said, you're absolutely right. We're getting probably 30 or 40 opportunities coming to us of varying sizes. And it's interesting that you bring it up, you know, in perspective. We, again, many of these are very new. For example, Waymo, obviously can't talk about what value they're bringing us and what have you, but certainly they're exponential growth is still well ahead of them, maybe a few years out, if not further, which means we have to invest in the relationship and the technologies and the embedding. You know, they have over 100 people trained in using our capabilities today. And that's an investment because the payoff right now isn't equal to the investment we're making. And I say that we, you know, that relationship with them is fantastic and it's going to over time be terrific for us. But the investment is we really have to have a vision for the future where what we can own based on our current capabilities, what can we own? And that helps us make, you know, one decide about how one thing is more important than another.
So what I'm hearing is that Trove started in one place, has ended up in another, and that we can expect to see a lot more out of the company.
Yeah, so we still are a big data play. We're still bringing, you know, value, the value of a unique user engagement around these micro moments of protection. How it's being manifest is either within someone else's user journey or within our full stack user journey that's taking the market with under another person's brand. I think that's so critical to our story today.
Very cool. Well, we're at the end of our time, Scott. This has been such an interesting conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts with us.
My delight. Thank you.
On the show today, I spoke with Scott Walchek, the founder and CEO of Trove. You've been listening to season 2 of the Accenture Insurance Influencers podcast. This season, we'll be interviewing some of the InsurTech world's most respected founders, VCs, and thought leaders. To get episodes as they're released, subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. I'm Igrani Yu. Thanks for listening.